You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth, and we're in part two of our interview with our new board member, John McCartney, who's a good friend of mine and a longtime Chicago pro-family activist. We'll get on that discussion a little bit, but lots going on, folks, we are glad you're tuning in, even if you're listening online. Our website is americansfortruth.org, and all our archives are right there, and just hit the button on the right for the Americans for Truth Hour. There's so much that's happening in the Chicago area, nationwide, but we are pre-taping this. We're doing this on the 4th, January 4th, and last night, Rick Santorum really won the Iowa caucuses, even though he lost by 8 votes to Mitt Romney. Rick Santorum was widely acknowledged as the winner of that contest because he came from nowhere to the top of the heap there in Iowa. And what is so fascinating about this candidacy is that Rick Santorum has been the target of the most awful vitriol of homosexual activists. And thanks to our producer, we've got one of the nasty attacks on Santorum right there pulled up on the screen. Rick Santorum once, I think he criticized, I can't remember if he criticized just a homosexual so-called marriage or if he was commenting actually on Lawrence v. Texas, the Supreme Court ruling that invalidated Texas's anti-sodomy law. But whatever it was, at one point he talked about how sex is not outside of the government doesn't reward any relationship, recognize any relationship, but marriage between a man and a woman. And at one point, I think he actually said, you know, they don't, he mentioned man on dog. And he probably said that lightly. And for that, he incurred the wrath of Dan Savage, who is a very, very nasty homosexual activist. That's the only way to put it. And Dan Savage created, first of all, he and his listeners, Dan Savage is a radical, he's a sex advice columnist for something called The Stranger, which is a Seattle alternative newspaper. And he's in the city papers all over the country. And he created him and his readers created a definition for Santorum, which I'm going to read. And if there's any children listening, it's late at night when we're on live, but clear the children out because I'm going to read out the website. They redefined Rick Santorum's last name, Dan Savage. And here's the definition, according to this homosexual activist. Santorum, and it's written like a dictionary. This is on the website. The frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex. That's what they did to Rick Santorum. And so they created this website, santorum.com. I don't understand why that is allowed to be created like that. They've got another website called Spreading Santorum. And this became a running joke among homosexual activists. And the whole purpose of Dan Savage doing this was that so that when people went to search for Rick Santorum's name, they would stumble upon this awful, awful description. And John McCartney, our new board member, it's just isn't it amazing? First of all, that you know a movement that prides itself on tolerance and you know allegedly fighting the forces of intolerance would create something like this and then make a big joke out of one of their opponents' names.
Well, initially, I'd say that gay activists that I'm familiar with, the ones out in the public and in our collective face, don't have respect for the human body and the various functions of the human body because their inclination is to actions against nature, so they're heading off in the wrong direction from the very word go. And I'm not surprised. As I said in the last interview, I read the Reader in Chicago, which is a paper for
it's like the city paper of Chicago.
Yeah, you know, it's a free paper designed for the young professionals and so forth, yuppies. And reading his column would make you disgusted with the sexual act. It's all about fluids and cum and so forth, excuse the expression. It doesn't make sex appealing.
Yeah, you don't want to get your sexual advice from a homosexual activist. That's for sure.
No, no.
But John, you know what's and he shouldn't have acted like I'm surprised that homosexual activists would do something so cruel. But what is so disturbing is the media wink wink attitude. Basically, that's the way they treat this. Dan Savage has done a horrible thing here, intentionally trying to destroy a man's name. Now, the interesting thing is, and we're nonpartisan here, we can't pick a candidate, and Americans for Truth can't, you know, we don't back a candidate. We don't even back a party. In fact, I'd love to see more pro-family Democrats rise up. We're all for the family and for natural marriage. But what's interesting to me is that this campaign to malign Santorum obviously didn't work. And it seems to me that now that Santorum has this new visibility, we have an opportunity here. And the opportunity is to show people the face of radical homosexual activism. I mean, here's this awful thing. Let's take somebody's last name and turn it into a disgusting, vile description. And, you know, all the homosexual activists, even some that are more known for being more not as edgy, you know, the more conservative homosexual activists, they're all jokingly referring to Rick Santorum. They call him the frothy mix because of that disgusting description I just read. And so I think what we see, he have an opportunity here is to, I call it the victim oppressor. It's sort of like a victim oppressor cult, John, the homosexual activist movement. On the one hand, they play up their victim status. Oh, you know, even that's the rationale for Dan Savage doing this. You know, Rick Santorum attacked my gay family. And so I get to, you know, he poo-pooed my gay family, the homosexual practice. So we get to lash out and do this to him and Google bomb him as they're doing here. But it's hard to play the victim when you're also being the oppressor. And right now we see homosexual activists in that oppressor role. When you're out there trying to destroy somebody's name, I'm sorry, you're far from a victim.
Right. Well, Kirk and Madsen's book.
Explain who they are.
Kirk and Madsen wrote a manual for homosexuals and lesbians entitled After the Ball. It has a subtitle, which I won't deal with. In there, one piece of advice was to play the victim role. Don't flaunt your pride, so-called pride. Be a victim, and you will get moral people, motivated people, concerned people, socially aware people to back you, become your allies. Even now on college campuses, there's a category called allies, which the gay and lesbian students are trying to build up and recruit more allies to stand with them against people who would criticize homosexual behavior.
Well, Dan Savage himself has you know, gained a lot of publicity of late for this It Gets Better campaign, which is a campaign supposedly designed to, you know, to help kids, these so-called LGBT kids, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender kids, you know, not to commit suicide. Nobody wants anybody to commit suicide, of course. But Savage has gotten renewed respect because of this video campaign. And now you see all the celebrities and even professional sports franchises all creating these web videos. And John, it's sad because the videos are basically affirming a homosexual identity for young people. But the whole bullying movement, anti-bullying, the homosexual side, again, you know, of course, there are kids who have been victimized. Let's be clear. But there are kids victimized for all sorts of reasons. And the bullying campaign seeks to focus on homosexual kids who are practicing homosexuality or think they might be gay, so-called. And it makes that the cause, and then it reaches beyond and it says, if you don't promote, if you don't favor pro-homosexual laws, if you don't favor pro-homosexual non-discrimination policies in school, then you're not really helping these kids. When the reality is, confirming a homosexual identity in these kids is not something that a truly compassionate person does.
Let me recite some statistics here.
Got a minute left, so we may have to cut you off after that.
A Cornell University study found that the average age young people now are identifying themselves as homosexual has dropped from 20 in 1978 to the age of 13 today.
And when was that? Is that a new article?
That was...
I think it's pretty new. Yeah, it's way, way down there, the age now. And John, that, of course, is because of homosexual activism.
Yes.
Because this is promoted so widely in the culture.
Yes.
So let's before we go to the statistics, John, let's come back to that. We're talking to John McCartney, who's a new board member of Americans for Truth. John's been in Chicago almost 50 years. He's a public school teacher. He's a tremendous warrior for truth on this issue. He goes out to high schools and colleges locally. And we're happy to have him on board at Americans for Truth. You can give a donation to Americans for Truth hitting the donate button at the top of the page at Americans for Truth. That's F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're talking to our good friend John McCartney. And John, we're talking about compassion. And these days, homosexuality is promoted to young people in the name of compassion. Let's face it. It's one of the real ways that liberals feel good about themselves. They affirm homosexuality. They treat homosexuality as if it's just a normal minority. They act as if homosexuality cannot be changed. We know that the reality of change is everywhere. I mean, we've interviewed so many people who've come out of homosexuality. There are people who still have the temptation, but they live chaste lives. John, you're a lifelong Catholic. Before we get into the health stats, let's talk about that a little bit. Affirm if you could, or tell us what is the give a summation of the Catholic Church teaching on homosexual practice.
Well, the Catholic Church, and I believe agrees with Christian churches going back hundreds of years, is that the proper use of sex is between a man and a woman, and it has a function of creating bonding and love and procreation. And any other use of sex is not acceptable. Now, the Catholic Church teaches specifically on homosexuality and lesbianism that a same-sex attraction is disordered in the sense that it departs from the order of nature. It can't go anywhere. It's futile as far as procreation. Now, we have some new bioethical issues that we could discuss, and that the using one's body with the a partner of the same sex is an intrinsically disordered act, like abortion. There can no good come from a man penetrating another man. Nature says no. Common morality says no. Now, I will add this qualification. The Catholic Church, as I'm sure other church, Lutheran Church, Methodists, are aware that people suffer compulsions. And we make the qualification that it's the act is objectively immoral, sinful, and disordered. But it could subjectively, the person could be so, have such weak control over him or herself that they're almost experiencing compulsion. So the subjective guilt or culpability can be reduced very low. But looking at it objectively, it's disordered, immoral, sinful.
And John, the church does, is this accurate? The church proscribes any activist support for activist legislation, which would include sexual orientation laws, so-called non-discrimination rights based on homosexual ideation and transgender identity.
Well, when Cardinal, the current Pope Benedict XVI, was with the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, he issued a international bulletin. That's what we'd call it, I think, in the secular world. Directive to bishops around the world to back away from so-called gay rights legislation because it's really giving legal permission to engage in sodomy, engage in behavior that the church says is objectively immoral, objectively sinful.
Because it sort of encourages the behavior by recognizing it?
Well, and I know that gay rights legislation is designed to give complete freedom to engage in homosexuality, whereas the church implies in Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict's statement, that there is no right to certain behaviors.
Right.
There is no right to shooting up your body with drugs. There's no right to attack other people physically and so forth. And there is no natural right to sodomy. And some of the bishops who were in their own lives, somewhat, one in particular who was morally compromised, led a movement to suppress that, to not educate Catholics on this whole issue.
Right.
And that's, I know, Peter, you've called attention to the fact that many Catholics, and that's true for other denominations, are apathetic. Well, it's a cultivated apathy that you're commenting
right.
on.
It's a shame to see these days many Catholics and people, like you said, of other denominations really not heeding the teachings of their own church. I've read that statement by Ratzinger. It's actually quite impressive in its totality. I might have a couple fine points where I might disagree, but it is a very useful statement on why the church cannot support these laws. And as it turns out, John, of course, as we know, those laws become the basis by which to repress our liberty to disagree with homosexual practice. And, you know, whenever these laws are, well, maybe now there it's this oppression is discussed. But when, you know, when New Jersey passed its gay rights law, we know that the discussion on the floor in the New Jersey House and Senate was not about how, hey, we're going to use this law to go after the Boy Scouts. Right. But if you go back to your history, the New Jersey sexual orientation law became the basis for a lawsuit against the Scouts by a New Jersey citizen, a homosexual activist, who was in the Boy Scouts. He wanted to be an assistant scout leader, and he used the law to go after the Scouts. Just as we're seeing today, these laws become the basis to say, no, you can't disagree. And now the argument of radical activists is if these laws exist, other people cannot discriminate in any way whatsoever, even if you have a small business. You have to, and we're seeing these cases now of businesses being sued under these gay rights laws. Really quickly, John, since we're on this issue, recently, in the last couple of weeks, Jennifer Keaton lost an appeal on her case. Now, I believe it's being appealed. She's the student at Augusta State University in Georgia who she said that homosexuality is a choice. It's a state of being. And she did not want they said, if you want to get into our counseling program, you have to take remediation programs and adjust your beliefs. And she said, you know, she doesn't want to do that. She's a Christian. She does not want to adjust her beliefs on homosexuality. And yet the school is demanding that she take these basically sensitivity classes. So there's a very good reason for not supporting these laws. They're always presented as very innocuous. Oh, we just want to help people. You know, you want to protect people from being fired because they're gay. That's the line that's used. But then these laws create a very they create a battle between gay rights and religious freedom.
Well, these laws really bring about a promotion of behavior, and it's according to the current information, the behavior is very damaging to those who practice it, and most burdensome to society. I was just reading, going through some material. I think the figure now for research, treatment, follow-up, so forth, hospitalization, medication for those with HIV now comes to about $20 billion a year. And that's money that's paid in taxes by young families, by senior citizens, and so forth.
And let's go to the CDC snapshot, which you use all the time, John. Men who have, this is our government, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Men who have sex with men account for nearly half of the more than 1 million people living with HIV in the United States. 48%, or an estimated 532 total people. Are men who have sex with men, an incredible proportion, disproportionate in every single disease category, John, we find this. And yet the line is that anybody can get AIDS. There's a resistance of any acknowledgement of the special role that and the destructive role that homosexual acts have in HIV and all the diseases.
Well, that was a campaign. Anyone can get AIDS. That was a campaign to deflect justifiable criticism of the homosexual lifestyle.
Absolutely. And go over some other statistics. You've got something there on the we've got 2 minutes left before this break. But, it continues to be a problem. It continues to grow. But we never face the real issue, which is homosexual behavior, especially between men.
I agree. That's certainly true. I have a clipping here, monogamy on the rise for straights and gays alike. Among gay men, the percentage who cheated on a partner they live with dropped to 59% from 83%. And for lesbians, it declined to 8% from 28%. So they can't argue that it's a stable lifestyle.
59%. Hey, that's progress. Only 59% of gay men cheat on their spouse.
That's just for now, though.
Oh, boy.
That's from the Gannett News Service.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I even believe that statistic. But as we've talked about many times, even if there was total monogamy, it wouldn't make it right. But let's read another statistics here. While the CDC, this is one we've read before in the year, while the CDC estimates that men who have sex with men account for just 4% of the U.S. male population ages 13 and above, the rate of new HIV diagnoses among men who have sex with men in the U.S. is more than 44 times that of other men. So basically, homosexual practicing men are 44 times more likely to contract HIV. John, 30 seconds. How do we get these facts out to the public?
Well, we get them out to the public with radio programs like this and with those of us who are informed taking every opportunity, writing letters to the editor in conversation, bringing up these alarming facts, which the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation do everything they can to suppress.
That's right. We're talking to John McCartney of Americans for Truth. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera here with John McCartney, who's a new board member at Americans for Truth. We both reside in the – John's actually in Chicago. I'm outside Chicago. And Americans for Truth needs your help. So if you're able to make a gift, go to the website at AmericansForTruth.org, hit the donate button at the top, or you can send a gift to our mailing address. We need your help. We've got lots of stuff going on, and it's going to be another busy year as the homosexual propaganda just accelerates in our culture. John, before we get into more of the health data here, we talked about what the Catholic position is on homosexuality. Where do you see the state of, I mean, just take a, say your average church-going member, where do you see the trends? How do you see the trends going on this issue? We hear the reports now, the gay activists, I don't know how accurate this is, they're citing polls that show that more than half of Catholics believe that homosexual marriage should be legalized. Where do you see the trends going on this issue in the flock?
Well, Peter, you know that, say, in your congregation, people that may, filling out a form, say they're a member of your congregation, they never show up for church, and they might use a label when it's convenient. For Catholics that have a pastor that's informed and informs them, for Catholics who have a bishop like Cardinal George or like Bishop Papraki down in Springfield, who are speaking out and educating people on the issue, for example, on this whole foster care adoption issue, the Catholic Church is just not going to put a child in a home where a man and two men are modeling a marriage, because a man is not a woman and a woman is not a man. And that's a basic truth of society, recognized ever since society has been organized. Yeah. And the cardinal you see now is standing firm about his statement. He made a statement that gay activism, as manifested in these parades, could morph into violence. Well, they've had violence at the parades in Chicago. The last one, they had intoxication and fighting and everything. And also, the cardinal reads the paper, even though the Sun-Times and the Tribune played down that violent attack on Christian Liberty Academy.
That was at the after banquet, the day of the after banquet.
He reads the Sun-Times. I know that for a fact because my daughter did some volunteer work, waitress work at his home, and she saw him in the kitchen reading the Sun-Times. So I know he reads it, and he must have read about that, the concrete blocks being smashed through the doors of this institution, which was just enabling us to exercise our right of free speech. So he's very shrewd, and I think that played a part in his standing so firmly against the criticism, the threat of a full-page ad, the threat of street demonstrations and so forth. They've demonstrated against him before. You were there, I think.
Yeah. Hopefully he hangs tough.
I think he will. I think that he is becoming aware of the scam that we are talking about something that is very dangerous to the people that engage in it, and it's very, very burdensome to society. And no one who's informed and unbiased, and I underline those two words, can possibly be apathetic or affirm this lifestyle and the so-called all the propaganda that is promoting it.
But now, do you see, obviously, when you have somebody who, even if they claim whatever their label, Catholic, Methodist, even evangelical, and they're buying into worldly trends, we're losing those people. Because the world is now, as we've talked about in this interviews, the world is flooded with pro-homosexual propaganda. Now we're seeing the pro-transgender propaganda. You know, this idea that gender doesn't matter, that even young boys can take female hormones is not going to affect them. It's unbelievable what's going on in the name of those initials, LGBT. But John, I notice, and just as a casual observer, my conservative Catholic friends, the ones who are most serious about Catholicism, they seem to be holding the line very well on this issue. And if anything, I think, unfortunately, I'm an evangelical Christian. Lots of evangelicals don't want to resist. I think the opposition is still there, but they're begging out of the fight for truth in this culture. That's what's crucial. We're in a culture war. It's a battle of ideas. And if you don't defend your ideas, the void is filled by the other side. And unfortunately, speaking as an evangelical, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing happen in the Catholic Church, If we don't work to defend normalcy and the natural created order on this issue, the other side wins. It's that simple in a free society.
I agree. But you got to remember, the newspapers, the media, the magazines, even scientific journals, the information available that would be available to them has been screened out. For example, there was a program, NBC or CBS program, where the host interviewed the two men who murdered Matthew Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
They were bombarded with emails and threats because they simply had a program to educate the public about, to inform the public about what these two men had to say about a crime. They had no possibility of getting their sentence reduced or anything. They were telling it like it was.
In other words, let's give just a little background on that. The sort of the mythology put out by homosexual activists was that Matthew Shepard was killed just because he's gay. That's sort of what the line was. And this ABC story that John's referencing basically said, you know, these were drug addicts, these were drug abusers. He was not killed just because he was a homosexual, although it was a terrible crime. And I would have supported the death penalty for vicious murders. But there was other factors. And like you said, the media screens out. Of course, John, the media simply does a lot of bias by not covering. Who knows the name Jesse Dierksen? Jesse Dierksen was left to die after a sadomasochistic sex play with older men that he was hanging out with. I mean, you know, nobody knows Jesse Dierksen's name. Why not? Because the killers were homosexual. The people who abused this boy terribly in this awful, awful scene in which he was left for dead. Nobody knows this boy, and that over time, the continual, and you've done a lot of writing and talking about this, the continual celebration of homosexual victims and the negation of any victims on the other side. And another name that is escaping me now is the woman, the African-American girl in Florida, who was hit on by a lesbian, and she refused the advances of a lesbian, a student who identified as a lesbian. She wanted her to be her girlfriend. This girl, I think she was a cheerleader. I wish I knew her name right now. She refused these advances in a Florida school, and she was shot. And nobody knows. I can't remember her name. And yet everybody in the world, especially people under, say, 40, know Matthew Shepard. And this is the propaganda that's out there. Same on the health stuff, the diseases, right?
Sure. Well, another example, you know, Dr. Spitzer, who was a quarterback and getting, he quarterbacked the removal of homosexuality from the statistical manual, diagnostic and statistical manual.
American Psychiatric Association.
Yes. After 25 years or so, he interviewed young men and women who had left the lifestyle and assured him that they were genuinely experiencing a minimal sexual attraction to the same sex and so forth. So he put that into a scientific magazine. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It escapes me. Maybe you can remind me.
Yeah, he got it published.
Yeah, he had it published, and the editor, who is a genuine liberal, an authentic liberal, said the emails and the hatred that he experienced the letters, the threats, the accusations just floored him for just bringing forth the fact that some people can leave the lifestyle if they want to. Masters and Johnson, who are as a secular, they're sex therapists, and they're as secular as you can get, were able to bring 60% of those who wanted to leave the lifestyle out of the lifestyle through their therapy.
That was back in they were in the, what, 50s, 60s,
oh,
Masters
that was
Johnson?
Back in early 70s, maybe mid-70s.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and so, yeah, these facts are demonstrated, but if they're not preferred facts, they're blocked out. And over time, as you've pointed out to me many times, this changes the way people think. And John, you have one there of the progression of HIV again to young people. Do you have that one?
Yes. This comes from an article which Dr. Sam Ho was mentioned, interviewed. He's an AIDS expert. The HIV incidence rate for Americans between 13 and 29 years old increased by about 21%. In fact, most of the new HIV infections reported in this country, and there are others that not reported, involve people under 30. Yet the government is through grants and so forth, and the media through not printing what it should print, are promoting this lifestyle in the schools when that's the group that is experiencing the highest incidence increase in HIV.
Yeah, where's the national mobilization for young people not getting HIV? I mean, where are the federal programs to dissuade people from practicing homosexual behavior? They're not there because homosexuality is now a preferred lifestyle in the eyes of the cultural elite. And that's what we're opposed to here at Americans for Truth. We're trying to get the word out in as many different ways as we can. Go to our website at americansfortruth.org. We got one more segment with John McCartney. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in our final segment of part two of our interview with John McCartney, who is a longtime pro-family, pro-life activist residing in Chicago. He's now on the board of Americans for Truth. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great man. He really is. And it's a privilege to know John and have him on our team. And John, you know, it's easy for people to get down. You know, we talk about this propaganda. That's ubiquitous. This, you know, constant. Now, I think it actually plays to the disfavor of the, you know, plays against the homosexual side because people are sort of tired of all this propaganda. We, you know, I don't know if we mentioned it last week, but, you know, you've got this first kiss coming out of the ship, the Navy ship that were in which two lesbian sailor was allowed to do the traditional first kiss with her female partner. And, you know, people don't think about this when homosexuality is celebrated in a culture and when it's celebrated by the government, because the ship's commander, the ship's captain, the head officer of the ship, he sanctioned this. And now every time, because of homosexuality being openly celebrated in the military, and recognition often translates into celebration, as we're seeing right here. Now, every time when you're going to have families, when there's a reunion or a ship comes in, you're going to have families who are going to be forced to be exposed to essentially public perversion. That's what we're talking about. And I made the point on our website, americansfortruth.org, that when President Obama put this photo, which is now famous, of these two women kissing, when he put it on his Tumblr site, which is a sort of a website for photos, he was putting an indecent photo. He was publicizing an indecent photo on his page. It's still indecent, despite what the cultural radicals are saying. And this is now our kids will be taught that it's okay for two women to kiss each other. It's okay for two guys to kiss each other. This becomes a lesson. And now we're seeing in California, of course, this will be mandated. This photo will probably end up in a history book that kids will be forced to study, and there'll be tests on it. You know, I mean, it's obscene, actually, that this is now being promoted in such a way when, you know, it's still illicit behavior.
Well, what troubles me with regard to the young there's so many, after dealing with teenagers now for 40 years, I realize there are so many young, these teenagers and even children, preteens, that are from troubled homes. They're angry. They're needy. They're seeking companionship. They're seeking a sense of their own value. And in these lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered groups, they're very easily convinced that going the homosexual lesbian route is a solution to their problems. And they will mix with older men and women at these various centers, government grant-funded centers, and they will depart on the lifestyle, which is more dangerous, until the antiviral drugs were developed, was more dangerous than smoking. And now you can't say it's not dangerous. That would be distorting the truth.
And yeah, when you said and let's be clear, you go to a lot of these centers, they advertise the ages as usually something like 12 to 24, 13 to 24. So you're talking about potentially a 13-year-old boy hanging out with a 20-something gay guy. That's not good. And of course, John, I couldn't have you on the show without talking about this. Well, I think actually we did last time, but there's always a consistent effort to say that there's no component of this sort of older guy with a teenage boy. I mean, this is very common in the history. I think we did talk last time about how it's been used to subvert the Catholic Church, your church. But John, in a minute, what is the most common objection you get when you're out there providing information at the high schools like you do? What's the biggest objection you get from kids to what you're doing?
Well, from university students or community college students, there's really they question your statistics. And sometimes they make personal criticism, personal attacks. I don't believe you're here. Why are you here? You shouldn't be here. I'm going to security and have you removed. Usually it's the ACLU representative on campus who starts that, ironically.
Yeah.
they question statistics. We have informational
table.
Stand that talks about the high percentage of breast cancer among lesbians, and they question that. And why should that be? Well, there's a reason for it. They don't lactate, and nuns don't lactate either. But if through fear of men, through deprivation of motherly affection, they gravitate to another woman, they're not going to lactate. They're not going to go out and have a child just so they can lactate. You know what I mean? That's asking a lot. So they challenge this, but we're there to explain to them. And generally, we've had hundreds of encounters, whole day or half day encounters with students, and we've generally had very few bad experiences. All of them have been with adults. Foul language, all kinds of extremely liberal professor at the university where I got my master's. He was constantly railing against the Catholic Church, against organized religion, Christianity in general. He wouldn't come to our table and debate with us. He wrote a letter to the school paper saying that we were deranged, and couldn't believe we were there, and why is this happening? Well, I'm sure he's an ACLU member, you know.
Well, and it's this idea of rather than just deal with the arguments and have a civil discussion, there's this push to block out, and going back to what we talked about at the beginning, even Santorum.com, the evil creation of homosexual activist Dan Savage. I mean, okay, write an article. Talk about how you disagree with Rick Santorum's ideas about marriage. But creating a website with the intentional purpose of Google bombing him so that ridiculing and defaming, taking his name and turning it into the byproduct of anal sex. I mean, that is a that is a bullying tactic. And how ironic that this guy, Dan Savage, is now, you know, he would hold himself out as a role model to kids so that kids wouldn't commit suicide. And nobody wants a child to commit suicide. But I don't want a child to think that practicing homosexuality is normal and natural. And here we have the media celebrating basically a cyber bully. And if it were a conservative, they wouldn't be near it, John. And we all know that there's a terrible double standard in the media. If conservatives did some of the things that homosexual activists did, they would be banned from civil discourse. Give us 20 seconds, John, give us a good word here at the end. And we thank you again for coming on the show.
Well, I would paraphrase Socrates, who said, I'm friendly to Plato, but I'm more friendly to the truth. I would say I'm friendly to men and women with the same sex attraction, but man, I'm more friendly to the truth.
And the truth is that homosexual practice is not normal, not natural, and it is against the will of God. If you struggle with it, there's always hope, as testified by the many people who've come out of the lifestyle. And we encourage you to visit our website, find some links to some of those ex-gays. It's whatamericansfortruth.org. Thank you, John, for being on the show. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
And go to our website and make a donation if you could. That's the donate button at the top of americansfortruth.org. We'll talk to you next week.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.